Hello, my name is Eli Tuchman, and thank you for joining me in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Challah. Back in Maseches Shviyos, we discussed the fact that biblical Eretz Yisrael, as described in the Torah, is divided into three zones with regard to their Kedusha. The zone, what we'll call zone number one, is the area that was captured by Olei Mitzrayim, but by Yehoshua and the Jews when they entered Egypt, like when they entered Israel after leaving Egypt and going through the desert. And then, after the first Golus to Babel, it was reoccupied by Ezra and Nehemiah and the Jews who came back from Babel. That land had Kedusha Rishona, which lapsed during the Korban, but then when the Jews came back and reestablished themselves, it has Kedusha Shnia, and that is the full Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. The second area, what we'll call Zone 2, was captured by Olei Mitzrayim. It was conquered by Yehuda, by Yehoshua, and the Bnei Israel, but it was not reoccupied by the Jews who came back from Bavel. And therefore, it had been Kadosh in Kedusha Rishona, but it did never got Kedusha Shnia, and therefore it is no longer Kadosh B'Kedusha Eretz Yisrael in the full sense. There are remnants of Kedusha, and so there are some halachos in which this is certainly upgraded from Chutz La'aretz. However, it does not have full Kedusha because it did not have Kedusha Shnia. And Kedusha Rishona lapsed. So really all we have left is kind of remnants of Kedusha. And the third area is the area that are within the biblical borders as described in the Torah, but were never formally occupied by Bnei Yisrael. And since they were never formally occupied by Bnei Yisrael, not even by Olei Mitzrayim, there was never any Kedusha attached to them, and therefore they are considered Chutz La'aretz, even though they are part of biblical Eretz Yisrael. At some point, B'Yimos HaMashiach, perhaps these will be part of Eretz Yisrael, because the Torah did promise them to us, but they have never yet been part of Eretz Yisrael, and so they do not, at this time, nor at the time of the Mishnah, have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. They're considered fully Chutz La'aretz. So, there are ramifications of these three zones for Challah, for the mitzvah of Challah. So Rabbi Gamliel walks us through it. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Shalosh Aratzos L'Challah. There are three lands, which really means three zones in Eretz Yisrael with regard to the Lachos of Challah. Zone number one, May Eretz Yisrael V'ad Kaziv. The main part of Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael kind of what we think of as the center of the country, up to Kaziv. Kaziv is Nachal Achziv, which is in northern Israel. It's a river that runs across the country east-west. It is north of Nahariya and south of Rosh HaNikra. So it's pretty far north in modern Eretz Yisrael. Up until that point has full Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Challah Achas. We take one challah. That's what we've learned up until now. You take challah. Challah means that if you are a private owner, you take 1/24 of your dough, and if you are a commercial baker, then you would take 1/48 of your dough. And you give that to the Kohen, and the Kohen eats it bitahara. Zone number two. Mikziv ve'ad hanahar ve'ad amana. From Achziv, heading north, so from the northern line that we just drew, going north, up until Hanahar and Amana. Hanahar refers to most likely the Litani River. The Litani River runs north to south in Lebanon and then turns westward across Lebanon towards the Mediterranean. And it hits the Mediterranean at about the area of Tsur, the modern city of Tyre. Amana is one of the mountains of the Hermon Range, which are kind of north above the Golan, and they are east of the Litani River. This Har Amana is also called Hor HaHar in the Torah, as one of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, but it is not, there are two places called Hor HaHar in Eretz Yisrael, in the Torah. This is not the one on which Aaron died, this is the one that is listed as one of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. So basically, the border of Zone 2 runs from Har Amana in kind of the northeast, west over to the Litani River, and then south along the river, and then west as the river turns out to the Mediterranean. So in this area, shtei chalos, we take challah twice because there are remnants of Kedusha. So what are the two challahs that we take? Achas la'ur, v'achas la'kohen. one to be burned and one to be given to the Kohen. Now, the one to be burned, this is the real challah. The real challah, because this has some remnants of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, so we take challah as we would take formal challah in Eretz Yisrael, but it has to be burned. Why does it have to be burned? Because the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael has lapsed, and therefore there is Tumas Eretz Amim. And so this challah is Tameh. And challah, of course, has the din of Truma, and Truma Tameh, like challah Tameh, must be burned. It cannot be, and it must be burned. So that's what we do with the first challah. And because of that, Chazal instituted a second challah as a zecher to the mitzvah, because otherwise we would go through life, as maybe people now do nowadays might think, that challah is supposed to be burned. Challah is not supposed to be burned. Challah is supposed to be given to the Kohen. And so if we only burn challah, we think that's what's supposed to be. So Chazal instituted that we should take a second challah and give it to the Kohen. Now in zone number two, the deal with these two challahs is as follows. One, shel'ur, yesh la shir. The burned one has the shir. Why? Because that's real challah. So real challah, you take 1/24, or really, because it's going to be burned, chazal or mekel. So you only have to take 1/48, even if you're a private owner. But you take 1/48 of the dough, which is real challah, as it were, and you burn it. Bishel kohen ain la shir. But that which you're giving to the kohen is only a zecher, it's a derabanan. And so you could take any amount, as long as you give something to the Kohen, so there's a remembrance that that's what you're really supposed to do with challah. And of course, this is Tameh, right, because it's in Chutz La'aretz, it's in Zone 2, which is not, does not have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, but because it's not real challah, it's a zecher, so therefore it is not a problem to eat it Tameh. While it is Tameh. Min ha-nahar u-min ama-navalifnim. So now zone 3 goes from the northern border that we just described, from the river Litani and the Hermon, inward. Inward means basically west of the Litani River, west and north of the Litani River, because the Litani River runs north, south, and then turns west. So north of the horizontal part of the river, and west of the vertical part of the river, and for that matter also northward a little bit. Shtei chalos. There we take two chalos, zone 3. So it sounds like it's the same as zone 2, but it's actually not. There are two chalos, achas l'ur v'achas l'koin. Just like in zone 2, one of the chalos is to be burned and one goes to the koin, but here it's the inverse. Shel ur ein lashir. That which is to be burned has no shear, any amount. Just take some off and burn it. Mishel Kohen, yesh la shear. But that which we give to the Kohen has to be given the full shear. The full shear, of course, here meaning 1/48. And the reason for that is that both of these are Darabanan. There's not that one of these, this is now Chutz La'aretz. And so there's not a real challah. Neither of them is real. They're both fully Darabanan, and they're both really a zecher. And so if you have two variants, two different challahs that you're giving, and both of them are more or less equivalent in terms of their purpose and their halachic status, well, it makes more sense to take the proper shear to give to the Kohen as a matana, and to take the smaller one and burn it. Right? Why burn the larger one? You can give the larger one to the Kohen and burn the smaller one. So now we're now shifting. The rest of the Mishnah is now going to talk about the status of this challah d'rabbanan, the challah that was given to the Kohen. So we mentioned it doesn't really have challah status, right? It can be eaten. It can be eaten betumah if necessary, meaning when it's tameh, because it has tumas eretz Yisrael. But the question is, who can eat it? So even though it's not real challah, it's chal d'rabbanan, and it is forbidden for zarim to eat it. Only kohanim can eat it. However, some of the other restrictions on challah and truma are lifted. And for in particular, utzvul yom ochla. A person who is a tzvul yom can eat it. Now, a tzvul yom is a person who was tameh, and after becoming tameh, after the time was over for the tumah, went to the mikvah and was tovel. And when one comes out of the mikvah having toveled, then you are mostly tahor, but not completely tahor yet. This is what's called a tevul yom. He dipped on that day, and you remain a tevul yom until tesa kochavim, until the stars come out that night. Most tevilos are done during the day. In fact, almost all tevilos are done during the day. And tevilos are done during the day, and then for the rest of the day, you're a tevul yom, which is considered like a sheni, although it's even additional leniencies beyond a sheni l'tumah, like this, which is that the tevul yom can eat this challah. A kohen who is a tevul yom can eat this challah, even though he can't eat regular challah. And even though a full tamei kohen cannot eat this challah. Rabbi Yossi is a little bit more mekel. Rabbi Yossi omer, eino tzarech tevila. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it does not even a tevul yom, anybody who's tamei. You could eat it even while a kohen who is tamei can eat this challah. Without even going to the mikvah. However, even Rabbi Yossi agrees, va'asur lezavim lezavos lenidos yoldos. The very, very high levels of tumah, people who are a zavat zava, a male who has an emission that we talked about a couple of times before, and we'll talk about again, a zava, who is someone who has also a woman who has an emission not at the normal menstrual time, anida, a woman who is during her menstrual period, and Yoledes, someone who's given birth. These people are Tameh, and it's a high level of Tumah because their Tumah actually comes from their own body. It's generated internally by their body. And so that is a very high level of Tumah, and those people, even Rabbi Yossi agrees, can't eat this challah derabanan. Also, another kula with regard to this challah, v'ne'acheles im hazar al shulchan. It can't be eaten by a non-kohen, but the kohen is permitted to eat it at the same table as a non-kohen eating his lunch. And normally we're very careful about these kinds of things because we don't want accidentally for the non-kohen to eat this. But here we don't have to, we don't have that extra step of care because it's less chomor than regular full challah. And finally, v'nitenes l'chol kohen. It can be given to any kohen. We're even allowed to give it to Na'am Ha'aretz because we are not worried about the Am Ha'aretz making a tummy. Now remember, we've talked before about the fact that an Am Ha'aretz is choshud ala tumah. We don't rely on them. We don't trust an Am Ha'aretz that he's careful about tumah. But many are. It's not that all Am Ha'aretz are not careful about tumah. Many are. And so it's not a certainty that if you give it to an Am Ha'aretz, it'll become tummy. It is a suffix, it is a possibility, which ordinarily we have to be very careful about because making truma tameh or challah tameh is very, very bad. But here, because it's challah d'rabbanan, and it's anyway already tameh, tumas eretz amim, so therefore we rely on the probability or the reasonable possibility that perhaps the Am Ha'aretz won't make it tameh. Of course, in a circumstance which would actually for sure make it tameh, you're not allowed to do even with this challah.